Ancient Faith Radio now presents Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Here, Orthodox Christians will come to better understand and relate to the not-yet-Orthodox. And the not-yet-Orthodox will find comfort and insights that will encourage them to finally and fully embrace the ancient Christian faith. Here's Jeff with today's broadcast.
Welcome to Approaching the Wardrobe, Understanding the Journey Toward Orthodoxy and Those Who Are on It. I hope you'll join me as we seek to explore what's going on in the mind and heart and the desires, the experiences and activities, and even at times the theology of those outside of the Eastern Orthodox Church. It's been about a year now since I myself and my family have been chrismated into the Eastern Orthodox Church. After about 18 years of committed activities and ministry positions in various non-Orthodox Christian scenes and groups, this proximity to those years, experiences, and relationships allows me at this point to take this opportunity to help Orthodox Christians understand what's going on in that world and also what's more importantly going on in the hearts of people who are in it. Hopefully this will help bridge the gap and allow Orthodox Christians to lead others to Eastern Orthodoxy and hopefully lead them to enter into it. Undoubtedly, people who are on this journey towards Orthodoxy will be listening to this podcast, and I hope they will find not only some humor, but some empathy, and maybe even they will be better able to understand what they're going through as they long for Eastern Orthodoxy. Title, Approaching the Wardrobe, of course, harkens back to the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, where the children in this story, beginning with a girl called Lucy, stumble into this wardrobe, which is actually a portal into another land, the land being Narnia, which is another dimension, so to speak, and symbolic of the kingdom of God, at least to me, the Eastern Orthodox Church is that very wardrobe where the magic of the kingdom of God intersects with human reality, just like it does in the stories of Narnia. The kingdom of God is tasted of and experienced, entered into through the physical realm, through the sacramental life and devotional life of the Eastern Orthodox Church. It's easy to forget or just not realize that the journey that a person is on is a sacred journey, starting all the way back at when they first meet God, all the way up through when they eventually, hopefully, become an Eastern Orthodox Christian. This journey is filled with love, devotion, studying of the scriptures, a desire to bring other people into a closer walk with God, starting with the sharing of the gospel with them, the basic gospel. Raising a godly family, the desire to do so, and more than anything, the desire to see God working in their lives and using them to make this world have a better knowledge of Him. Sometimes when the not-yet-Orthodox encounter conversations or classes or are a part of liturgies of Orthodox churches as they are looking into Eastern Orthodoxy, they can be turned off by Orthodox Christians who unintentionally communicate that this person is barely even a Christian or just a very ignorant Christian because they don't really understand everything or know everything or agree with everything that's going on in Eastern Orthodoxy. I'm sure this is unintentional, but what happens is the Orthodox Christian doesn't always realize the beauty of the life that this person has been living, the devotion hopefully, that this person has spent years and even decades as a completely committed follower of Christ, and yet they can encounter an Orthodox who is ignorant of this, or just makes a glib comment about Protestants and what they believe and makes fun of some aspect of that world, of which there are plenty of things that can be chuckled at, just as there are in Orthodoxy and every branch of everything, both in Christianity and other realms of our culture. When discussing this podcast with my wife, she mentioned to me that a few different places we had been a part of, a few different parishes, Greek, OCA, Antiochian, a couple of those are missions. She was in classes or conversations with people and really felt a strong sense of displacement, to where the not yet Orthodox Christian comes to somewhere where they are really ignorant of what to do on the very basic level of physical activities and all the stuff that goes on and all the things that you don't understand in the Orthodox world yet. Well, you come into this and you feel very insecure in a sense. Everything you've leaned on, your whole identity for years or decades as a believer is kind of ripped away from you, and here you are in a Christian church or environment or class or conversation, yet you feel completely out of place. And at that point, when you're talking with someone or trying to fit into an environment, if somebody seems to attack or go after what you know as a world that you've appreciated and benefited from greatly in the past, another Christian church, what comes to your mind are the wonderful people and the wonderful ways that God has worked within that environment to bring you closer to Him and to a greater knowledge of Him. And it was part of a journey, a very sacred journey. One of the things I hope this podcast will accomplish, as well as an understanding, is some practical ways at times for Orthodox to interact better with Christians when they are in conversations with them or classes. When is it a time to listen? And how should we listen when people recount their past? How should we respond when people talk about their past experiences in other denominations? Should we talk a lot about certain things in the Orthodox faith, or should we wait? When should we explain things more? When should we just be quiet? And when should we just show the beauty of what's going on and let God teach them over time some of the things that are maybe difficult to swallow at first, that might turn them off unnecessarily, until they gain a greater and deeper appreciation for what's really going on and the historicity of it and the richness and the monastic beauty that it grew out of. So I hope you find this walk together enjoyable. We'll have a little fun chuckling at some goofy things that I've done or ran into or people I've known, and yet at the same time see the desires behind those things, which are genuine and good and from God, so to speak. I first want to travel back in this podcast and go back to when I first encountered God. I did not actually grow up in a Christian home at all. I remember a couple midnight masses as a kid when we were staying with my grandparents up in Minneapolis. That is where my accent is from, by the way, the Twin Cities up there. It's probably driving some of you crazy by now. Hopefully you'll get used to it and can handle it. Well, when I popped into a couple midnight masses every year or two, it was a fun experience. We were pretty much trying to stay up. That was a good way to stay up really late and try to wait up for Santa Claus. Of course, it never worked. We would get home and fall asleep pretty quick. But I remember going into the Polish Catholic Mass in the middle of the night, and the candles and the smells and a bunch of people there barely paying attention. But the beauty of the Mass was evident even as a young child to me. It was like entering another world, albeit a medieval world. I think I even took of the Eucharist when I wasn't supposed to, not being baptized as a young person. I do remember hearing the scriptures being read. I barely could understand what was being said from the Gospels or whatever, but I do remember liking the fact that these scriptures were being read and it was a holy thing. They weren't just being commentated on. I later, as a Protestant, was frequently annoyed at how much we use the scriptures to impress people with our knowledge, our Bible study technique, our language ability in Greek or Hebrew, and all the little tricks and games we play with semantics to try and impress people with the great insights we're finding in the scriptures. That annoyed me quite a bit. Whenever I saw it in myself, it would repulse me as well. Well, that brings up a point that many people are longing for some of the simple beauty of the Orthodox faith and don't even know it exists. They're in a Christian world where things are annoying them and they don't know that there is more already there for them. They always think they have to create a whole new environment to get to the pure and good things of God and to get rid of some of the things that are annoying them from other church scenes. And this explains a lot of what's going on in the leadership journey of not yet Orthodox Christians. So I travel as a young junior hire to go visit my mother. My brother and I would visit her and stay with her. Our parents were divorced at a very young age. She had become a Christian. She had become some kind of, I don't know what it is, some kind of charismatic Christian, I believe. I don't know if it was through a local church or first through the TV programs or what, but we were scared of the end times. We had the gospel shared to us, though, John 3:16 and the steps from Romans, the Romans Road, I believe it was, I can't remember. The basic gospel that we are separated from God, need to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive our sins, accept Jesus into our hearts, and become believers. So my brother and I did. I believe my brother did. I know I did. I was in a bathroom alone because I was told that this had to be something I did alone, where I talked to God and asked Him to be my Savior. And so I'm sure I had tears coming out of my eyes. It was quite a genuine and emotional time I had to accept God into my heart, Jesus into my heart, whatever it was called. I was a different person then. I can honestly say that. Looking back, I liked to help in the kitchen all of a sudden and do dishes for my mom and my brother on this trip. And it felt good to do good things for other people. I walked down to the store in the neighborhood and I had such a funny smile on my face. So much joy that was just making me smile that I had to hide it. I think I tried to hide my face from traffic going by even, and in the store I was super nice to the cashier who I was buying things from. I'm sure that person had never seen a young kid that age, a young boy at least, being that nice to them. So this was quite a start to my journey of knowing God and responding to Christ. Let's not forget that this happens with many people at different times, at different levels of experience, at different levels of emotion, sometimes none at all. But either way, when that happens, that's a sacred moment. And that's a time that we need to appreciate in other people's lives as well.
Angels and archangels may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim throng. Mother only in her maiden bliss worship the beloved with a kiss.
Well, I knew there were three things that I was supposed to do now as a new believer. So when my brother and I went back home, back up to St. Paul, we knew we were supposed to read the Bible, to go to a church, and to love people. Those were the three things I remembered that we were supposed to do to be believers. And so those things, as you can imagine, turned out to be incredibly hard for young junior high kids, especially myself. We tried hard, though. I remember trying to find a church, having bicycles only and no rides, and maybe not even wanting to ask our parents for rides to a church. We took the yellow pages and tried to find somewhere to go to. We may have been fighting all week long, but we got together and tried to bike across the Mississippi Bridge and find some church we saw in the phone book. We stumbled into a church once, I believe, that was full of old people. I don't know what it was like or what it was. We sat through it. It seemed strange. It seemed sterile. It seemed foreign. And we were like, wow, okay, we went to church. Well, it kind of felt good. We had nothing against that. We were willing to work hard to go to church. All of this came from a good desire to have a relationship with God and to follow what we were told about Him, about how to make this work. Well, trying to love people was also a very difficult thing in junior high. You can imagine an inner city junior high school, people there who were held back probably for 3 years at that point. And I think there was a girl who was probably 6'2" here in about probably seventh grade at the time. She had it in for me. She actually wanted to beat me up, I believe. One day, leaving home economics class, I got word that she was going to beat me up. So I tried to slide behind the door as the door was propped open, invisibly, so to speak, as she walked by. I don't think that worked. I don't know what happened. I can't really remember. But I remember hating her and some other people in school. And I thought to myself, God, I just can't do this. I can't be a believer. I can't read the Bible. I don't want to. I don't know what's going on with that too much. I had a heck of a time going to church all summer long. I don't think I can do that, and I certainly can't love people. So this just isn't for me, at least at this stage of my life. I'm not ready. I can't do it. This brings up an interesting point. When your journey starts as a believer, and it's just you and God on your own, and you're sent off, and it's just a personal one-on-one thing, and then your Christian life becomes that as well, it's all based on those little factors of what you can pull off or not. And there's nothing that you really enter into that ties in your whole life, your whole physical being, to this walk with God. And yet that's what people really need and desire. And that's what we can find in the Eastern Orthodox faith. At least those who are pure in heart will find that in the Eastern Orthodox Church. Now, I do want to go ahead and pause here, should I say, go in reverse a touch and go back to that time when I first became a believer. And think about this, when people first become believers, think about how they did. It took someone who was completely devoted enough to make the entire focus of their week praying for us, or even months at times, praying for us, sharing certain scriptures with us, helping us to understand who Christ was and what He did for us, and then sharing the gospel with us and showing us how we can start this walk with God. Think of the devotion that takes in the heart for people, the prayers that are going up to God, that God is hearing and answering in that moment, and how special that is. And so when we have a non-Orthodox Christian that we're interacting with, that's a contact point that we can make with them. That's a point that we can share and celebrate with them as we listen and glory in that work of God in their life. That's something that will build a nice bridge to help them see that this Orthodoxy thing, yes, it seems kind of strange and weird and otherworldly, like it's from another time and place, but it's really just a continuation of the sacred journey they're on. It's the fulfillment of it. It's the place that they can finally call home and not have to worry about all the instabilities of the multi-denominational Western Christian world. I want to conclude today with a couple scriptures that have come to mind when contemplating these things. A couple scriptures that help us meditate on this truth of God working at that moment in someone's life and God accepting people outside of the Orthodox Church. The first passage is from Acts chapter 10, the whole encounter with Cornelius that Peter has, starting with a message from God from the angel himself. in Acts chapter 10, and I'll pick up the account here. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one who fears God, and one of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you, Peter, to come to his house and hear words from you. And Cornelius said, as we pick it up here in verse 30, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your merciful deeds have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and call here Simon, whose name is Peter. He's staying in the house of Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak to you. And we know that Peter spoke the gospel message to all that were at his house. And Peter does make a statement too. In verse 34, Peter begins to speak, it says, after their conversion and the arrangement for baptism for the whole household, Peter says, quote, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but it accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. This was the part of the passage I wanted to emphasize, Peter's words of response, that God does not show favoritism. So when someone does cry out to him with a humble heart, cries out for his salvation, and he responds, that's a sacred moment that's throughout the scriptures that we need to be sensitive to as well. Now let's travel to the Gospels, into Luke chapter 15, and look at some of Jesus' interaction here with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were grumbling at him eating with sinners, quote-unquote. And so Jesus, understanding this, spoke to them, saying in verse 4, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Similarly with the parable of the lost coin that is next, and the lost son. The phrase here that repeats itself is the joy and rejoicing in heaven over a person who repents. And we as Orthodox, of all people, should be in tune with what's going on in heaven and in the activities of God, because we can touch it so much in our worship. Yet we can often overlook that this is what's happening. There is angelic celebration. All the saints and angels are celebrating when one sinner repents here with Christ in the kingdom of God. This is a sacred moment and a sacred journey that begins. This is a time for us to celebrate with them and share in this joy. I look forward to this series with you.
You've been listening to Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Jeff is a former Protestant youth minister and missionary who was recently chrismated along with his family into the Orthodox Church. This podcast is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio, on the web at ancientfaith.com.